I'm not a noted person. But I got this notebook several weeks back when Brother Jimmy called me. I said, Brother Jimmy, you got the wrong number. I said, I'm not a preacher. Y'all forget where you're pastoring. I've been privileged to be part of Ben's Ford Church a little over 37 years, and the Lord's blessed me to be there. This is kind of a unique year for me. I never would have thought I'd have been here. You know, I look back and how fast time has passed, Brother Harold. I remember he and I riding back and forth to Hammond together, and we both poor folks. Amen. The Lord blessed me to buy an old car, and I had a daddy that would give me a tank of gas a week to go to school. That's it. There were no dollars to go with it. He couldn't afford to send me to school. The Lord blessed me to, he prospered the money that I had earned while I was in high school and out of high school in the summers to pay for the college that I went. It meant a little bit more to me. You know, when I was there, it meant a little bit more to me. Of course, I blame Brother Harold. He had a sweetheart. He calls her Shug now. And I had a sweetheart. And they both lived, my sweetheart lived in Mississippi. He has lived in Bogalusa, and on Tuesday nights, he had a night class. This was in 1971, I guess. No, 70, in the fall of 70. And he said, Jimmy, don't you have a hankering to go see Von Seal? I said, yeah, I do. I said, but I got enough gas to get me home, and I only got, you know, no money to get back. He said, I'll go borrow it. He got out of night class about 8:30-ish. We'd load up, come to Bogalusa. I'd drop him off on Rio Grande Street, and I'd go to Crossroads sometimes all the way to Carrier. I'd spend about 45 minutes with my sweetheart, come back, pick him up, and I'd see my wife. At that time, I'd see my fiance on Sunday nights. I'd go to school on, leave after church on Sunday night, go to school on Monday. We'd go back on Tuesday. She'd come see me on Wednesday and Thursday, and I'd be home on Friday. And I was only missing her on that Monday night, and I said, shucks, I just as well go ahead and get married. And I did. It's all his fault. But it's been a good thing, because 45 years ago, February 5th, you know, the Lord blessed us to become married. She's been putting up with me 45 years. And February 5th, Lydia's birthday, I asked her a while ago how old she was. I couldn't remember how old. She told me, you know, she'd be 9. So it was on my 36th anniversary she was born. I knew she'd born on anniversary. So this kind of year, 45 years ago, my wife and I became one. 30 years ago in April, the Lord blessed me to become part of the staff at Ben's Ford Christian School and Ben's Ford Baptist Church. And 50 years ago this May, Jesus saved me. And so, you know, kind of, I never would have thought I'd gotten here, Brother Shad. I look back and I remember, you know, things look like, wow, I knew people that were old people when I started work with the telephone company. I went to work with an old man. He was 35. I remember saying, I came home and told my wife, I'm riding with an old-timer. He was 35 years old. I'm telling you. So, you know, it's relative to where you are and where you could have been. So God's been good to me and to allow me to be here. And I figured out a while ago why the Lord let me be here, to be between the Pittman brothers. Brother Jimmy was talking. He must have had me here to separate. I don't know. So I'm honored and privileged to be part of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's blessed me, and y'all intimidate me. The age of the people that I've been privileged to be part of is usually from 4-year-olds to about 9 or 10-year-olds. So y'all intimidate me. And to stand up here behind folks who's preached the word and been preaching and studying as long as y'all have, it's been an honor and a privilege to me. It's blessed my heart. Every man has spoken. And I tell you, like Brother Edmund Blackwell, Brother Harold may or may not remember Brother Edmund. He preached at Ben's Ford Church one Sunday night. Brother Lynn was out of town. And I introduced him, and he was an old-timer that the Lord had called him to do a great work in California, and he ran from it by his own testimony, by his own testimony. He came back to Washington Parish, and he pastored different churches, different places. But he was a sweet-spirited man that loved God, loved souls, loved my pastor, Brother Lynn, and he loved men of God. But he stood up behind the pulpit that night, and I'd introduced him, and he said, "My goodness, if I'd have known I was preaching, I wouldn't have showed up." So, you know, I kind of the way I feel sometimes. But anyway, the Lord let me be here. He gave me a verse of Scripture after Brother Jimmy called, and I wrestled, why? And I talked with my pastor, and he and I prayed and talked. And the Lord gave me a verse of Scripture, and I'm going to read that to you in a little bit. But I want to talk to you about a topic. Brother Shad just more or less preached it. Who are you? You ever wonder, there's a song that says, "Who am I?" You know, you wonder, why would the Lord die for me? Why would he bleed and die for me? And again, Brother Shad just ably preached it, so I can't re-preach what he said. But I look around this particular place, and you know, there, all of us that are men are sons. We are sons. Some of us are husbands. Some of us are husbands. Some of us have been privileged to be fathers. And some of us are tremendously blessed to be papas. And that is a blessing. And, you know, so, and some of you are young ladies, your daughters, all of you that are women are daughters. Some are wives. Some are mothers. Some are grandmothers. And that's all a blessing of God. It's a blessing of God. Some are wanting to be a husband. No names called. Some are wanting to be daddies. Some, you know, I remember as a young person, Brother Shad, when I was in college. I remember being in college. I sure do want to get married and have a family. I loved little ones. I always loved little ones. God just put that in my heart from the time I could remember, far back as I remember. God just blessed me to love little ones. And I wanted children. I wanted to get married and have 10 young'uns, maybe even 12. And my wife did too, till she had the first one. And she had a hard time. She was about 12 hours or 14 hours of dry labor, and I'm the only one up there with her. We were up in Alabama in St. Margaret's Hospital, and she was screaming in pain. And finally, after about 3 trips in and out of that labor room, I said, "Give her something or me something." I told the nurse. I grabbed the nurse. She said, "I can't give her anything, Miss Denny." She said, I remember literally grabbing her. I said, "You give her a shot or me a shot. It doesn't matter." Because I've had all this I could stand. I didn't have a pastor at that time. I didn't have none of my family up there with me. And it just she and I and the Lord. And he was strong. But I had about all of the hurting I could stand to seeing her hurting. You hear me? Well, the nurse came back and gave her a shot of sugar water. And it eased her mind. I'm being serious. She'd tell you that herself. The nurse said, "Don't tell her." "I won't, as long as she's quiet." So she was, and I was blessed and privileged. And God gave me my first daughter, and that's been almost 43 years ago. And after that, it was a long time. And that before the Lord gave us another daughter and a son, and he's allowed me to be. I studied pre-med for 2.5 years and was going to be a pediatrician, but he allowed me to be a pediatrician in his house and to work with little ones. And I'm saying that honestly. He's blessed me to do that. Who are you? In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, a story's told of I better get there, in Ephesians chapter 4, got not the story. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he begins to write some things and about who we are and who he was and I believe who we're supposed to be. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1, I'm just going to read a few thoughts in reverse so you don't have to stand. But I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And you know, I thinking about this particular verse of Scripture, the word vocation. You know, folks have different vocations. Some people are called bivocational. You know, they work and they pastor, or they work and they teach, and they do different things. And this word vocation deals with a calling. And he said, walk worthy of your vocation. I remember the first time I was asked, and I begged you to forgive me for alluding to me, but to share a devotional with a group of young people. It's been 36 years ago, I guess now, at a church camp. and there were several preachers there again. And Brother Stan, I asked the man that was in charge, I said, I'm not worthy to do that. And he looked at me and he said, neither am I. And he said, but the Bible says, worthy is the Lamb. Did he save you? I said, yes, he did. Did he seal you? I said, yes, he did. So that makes you worthy. Amen. So behind the cross, I've got this problem in my left eye, and I'll tell you what I was told it was. It's called a retinal occlusion. It's a bleeder behind my retina, and I have to have injections in my eyes. It's been going on a little over 2 years. But the first time I noticed it, it was just spot. I thought I had dirty glasses, and I remember cleaning my glasses and putting them back on. That spot was just always there. And I closed my right eye, and I could see absolutely nothing in my left eye except just a little bit around the side. I'd open my right eye. God, He wonderfully, marvelously made us. That my right eye overshadowed that blindness in my left eye. I didn't know I was blind in my left eye unless I closed my right eye, and I could see nothing. And so I went to the eye doctor thinking he could fix it, but God had to fix it. But He fixed it. He did use doctors. And so I could see a white spot in the middle of my eye. And I got to asking the doctor what it was. He said, well, you got a bleeder right in the center of your left eye. And it's in the retina, which is in the center of that eye. So you're looking through the blood. I said, praise the Lord. Jesus looks at me through the blood, Brother Matt. And you know what He sees? He sees white purity. He sees no sin, no darkness. It wasn't blind to Him. That won't cost anything. That's really not part of it. I just thought that was good. Amen. That He could see nothing except, I could see nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing but a little white spot. And just out to the sides, Brother Jimmy, out to the sides. So it's through the blood that I can stand here. Because when God looks at me, He don't remember all them things that the devil brings back and attacks my mind with. All my laziness and sorrowness and evil thoughts and things that's been there. But to walk worthy, I thought about that word worthy. And again, I'm not very smart. So I looked that word up. Who are you to walk worthy? What makes us worthy? We know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. To walk worthy means to walk in a way that's appropriate. To put it, I guess, in common English, to walk in a way that's appropriate of the calling, the vocation, the place where God's called you. And you know, dealing with folks, I wrestle with things. I don't know about you, but I wrestle with my mind. I have these warfares that go on in my mind, and it goes on off and off and over again. And as the devil attacks my mind, and he puts these things in my mind, and I begin to think, Luke, that why am I here? Whose way am I standing? And by the way, I've been a deacon at Ben's Ford Church, full-time deacon for 30 years, so that's just where I am. I'm not a pastor. So, but anyway, the Lord's blessed me and placed me there. And how can I walk worthy? How can I walk appropriately to the calling that God's called me? I'm not the pastor. When the Lord placed me, and again, to refer to when He placed me where I am 30 years ago, I tried to be my pastor. I tried to put on my pastor's armor. I tried to get up the hours he got up. I tried to do the things he did, Brother Pat. And I found out after about 6 weeks, maybe 6 hours, but I remember going 6 or 8 weeks, Brother Harold. I was working at the school full time and unlocking the doors and trying to teach 6 classes a day and driving the bus, fixing the buses. And poor Brother Harold was bringing the buses, and he'd tell me the windshield wipers don't work when it's raining. and all that was involved in my day, and I tried to put on the armor of my pastor, and I couldn't do that. Because you know why? God didn't call me to be him. He didn't enable me to be him. I couldn't tie his shoes in the place where he was as my pastor, my shepherd, my teacher, the one that was to lead my family and try to help keep me straight, amen, through the shepherdship of the place where he was. But I tried to put on his armor, and God gave me the scripture in where David began to put on Saul's armor to go fight Goliath. And the Bible says he said, I hadn't proved it. I don't believe he could walk, because, you know, Saul was a pretty good-sized man from my description. And he took the stones, he took the sling, he took the staff, and he went and fought the giant with what he was accustomed to do, to where he was called, what he was called to be, who he was called to be. He was a shepherd boy. That's what he was at that time. Well, he had already been planned to be the king, but he was still a shepherd. And he took what he was accustomed to be, who he was accustomed to be, who God had called him to be, and he went worthily where he was to fight the giant. And you know what did? God won the victory. He aimed that stone, put it where it was supposed to be. God, through God, he was able to take the sword of that giant, cut his head off. He won the victory. Why? Because he was worthy of the calling that God had called him to be. He was what God called him to be. Amen. The Bible in this particular chapter goes on to say, in verse number 2, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And you know, as listening to all these men of God that have preached and shared what was on their heart, we live in a divisive world. Brother Stan talked about the divided heart. Church is divided. I was raised, and I'm thankful for where I was snatched up at Ben's Ford Community and brought up in an associational church. There's nothing wrong with associations the way I believe they were designed to be. A fellowship of believers to further the cause and the work of Christ, to preach the truth, to support missionaries. Two churches could support missionaries a lot better than one could. And that was initially the way it was, to fellowship with one another. Believers coming together in unity. It's not that way in many, many, many associational works today. And I'm not saying that and condemning, just factually from my experience. Amen. Does that make any sense? So, endeavoring to keep the peace. That word endeavoring is another good word. That's one of them 75-cent words. I think probably I was a senior in high school before I could say it, much less spell it. But all that means is it diligently struggling and striving to keep the peace. Well, that makes me think that over here on this side, there's something or somebody trying to tear down the peace. Trying to divide, trying to destroy, trying to tear down. Now, I'm not talking about this love, you know, this, you know, where you accept anything, any idea, or any ideology. I'm not talking about that. I don't believe God does. Because he goes on, he says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's some folks that don't have the same faith. Amen?
That's right.
And, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, testifying, living, loving him, to endeavor, to struggle, to keep the peace. These petty differences sometimes that get brought up, I know folks that fall out when Jesus is coming back. I believe my Bible says nobody knows.
Amen. Right.
Why should I get mad if somebody believes he's coming out tomorrow? They don't really know either.
Right.
Amen. We just ought to try to be ready to meet him. I may get my truck, start home in a few minutes. I have to go to a funeral and start home in a few minutes. And I may meet God between here and there, and that'd be okay. But I'm glad the Lord let me be here today. I'm not planning on running in a ditch on purpose. Okay, so if that happens, I'm not going to text. I've learned something about my cell phone. I can text without touching. So I can answer texts without touching and looking at my phone even. It's gotten smarter. It's a smartphone, and I ain't caught up with it yet. But I've learned some things about it. I don't have to reach down there and do this number and try to, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. Amen? And I try not to even answer a text. When my little phone says, beep, text, that's okay. You can wait. But if I run up a pole or run in a ditch and I meet God, you can stand in front of my casket and say, he didn't do it on purpose. I don't like pain. I do know people that have tried that. I do know people that have tried that. And I met a guy that actually, Brother Harold and I, a little younger than us, that lived his last days. He actually died in a house in a wheelchair because he tried in his life. He ran a car full speed into a brick wall in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Tried to end his life. Didn't make it. He lived at Rest Haven, and then he finally got some sort of body to live with him, and he moved in a house and got killed, if I remember right, by some drug dealers in his house. So I don't like pain. So I promise you, I'm not going to run into anything on purpose. All right? So the Lord's allowed me to be here, and I'm thankful for that. He's made me worthy, and I'm not bragging on anybody but Jesus Christ. He made me worthy. He made me worthy. I'm amazed. I remember reading Amos is a good book for me to read because Amos was a, you know, he was a herdsman. Amen? If I understand right. He describes in the seventh chapter that he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't even a prophet's son. But God had given him a message. Zechariah talks about, I didn't write it down, and my train of thought gets derailed pretty quickly. And what I try to remember don't stay with me very long anymore. My forgetter works real fast. I remember things that happened years ago, especially bad things that I shouldn't remember. But I try to remember, try to focus on good things. That's what Paul says, think on these things. And it's hard to do that. But in Zechariah, he talks about he was taught as a young man to raise cattle. That's a paraphrase from the book of Zechariah. So God, you know, God, my daddy taught me how to raise cattle. I don't have any. But he taught me how to raise them. I learned how to eat them. Amen. It didn't bother me. That didn't bother me. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what God did for me. He did that for me. And he allowed me to be where I am. I lived in Alabama, in the heart of Alabama-Auburn territory. Huh? 70 miles from Alabama and 60 miles from the University of Auburn. And I, to put a physical thing, I still had to root for my Tigers. I wasn't liked for that. But anyway. Well, amen. So, but God's so good. He is so good. He makes us worthy. He places us in Him. He allows us to serve Him. I don't understand all that. But I do remember when Jesus Christ saved me. And I want you to understand there's a warfare every day. There's a warfare every day. Endeavoring, struggling, striving, diligently seeking to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The precious Holy Ghost of God instructs us. Brother Shad just shared how we are who we are because of Him. Amen? Amen. Because of Him. Because of Him. But there's a warfare to keep that. May not be with you. My snooze button's the biggest evil thing I got. I do like it, but I wish I didn't have it. And this week, twice, I touched the wrong button. And I overslept. And I hadn't done that in a long time. But I did it because of my laziness. When I needed to get, I usually wake up before that. But I just slept through it. And I jumped up. And you know what I did? I walked away from things that I should have spent time with. I walked away from places where I should have been. And I neglected to keep the bond of peace in my heart. Because you know when I do that, when I do that, I have turmoil in my life. I have struggles. One day this particular week, I did that. I got to school. And I take that back. I got to school after I'd been preached to for an hour by my pastor. Walked in. God was good. I was filled with Him. And the devil met me to see how much I was full of Him, Brother Jeremy. A grandparent who's raising his grandson was there to defend his grandson. And he looked at me, and he's a pastor of another type church. And he was an army man, and he began to tell me and Miss Donna and myself that his grandson wouldn't lie. And he read me from his cell phone a picture he had taken from what his grandson had said that I said. And I listened to it, and I said, wow, some of what he wrote was what I said, Brother Harold. I mean, it really was. Part of it was truth. But there was a great deal of it I didn't say. And he looked at me, and you know what he said? My grandson wouldn't lie. And I said, in other words, you're saying I'm a liar. And he said, I didn't say that. Don't put that Jesus Christ attitude on me. And I thought, wow. You know, God, thank you that I heard the word this morning. And I just sat there, okay, okay. And he began to tell me all the things that his grandson said, that I said, and this, right, but that's okay. One day, he's going to realize His grandson's a liar. His grandson is almost 16 years old. Don't tell the truth all the time. He's going to find that out. And so because that day, Brother Blake, the Lord Jesus Christ had moved in my heart, I told Miss Donna, God, I'm so thankful that I sat under the preaching and the praying of the Word of God this morning, because I know what my flesh wanted to do, Brother Pat. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then in verse number 11, and I'll be quiet. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That tells me that they're different gifts. We're gifted in different areas. This may not have made any sense to you. I struggled with this, weeks and weeks. But God gave me one verse of Scripture, and I'm going to read it to you. 1 Samuel 3:3. And I'm taking this out of context because it really blessed my heart. And if it's destructive to the Word, I know God will forgive me, because it really blessed me. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. If we step out of place... Samuel was called of God, placed by his mother in the work of God, and he was ministering according to the Bible. In this chapter, he ministered to Eli in the temple of God as a young man. And I know they tell me that this particular passage, that the high priest lit the lamp and it always burnt, and sometimes it would get dimmer before he got up and retrimmed the lamp. So, but I got in our work as being believers, bound together by His Spirit to preach the truth, to strive, to endeavor, to uphold the truth. You know what's going to happen? If we don't do that, the lamp of God's going to go out. It's already been preached. A lot of churches are shutting their doors today because the lamp of God's gone out. It's gone out. Some people are putting it out. The devil's got a hose trying to hose it out. He's got baskets trying to shroud it out. But I'm thankful that God's greater than all in all. Anything that the devil has, God's got victory over it already. But the devil is the prince and the power of the air. Don't take long to realize he's in control today. We got such a perverted world. What's good is bad. Heroes of our children today, sports heroes. Years ago, you used to could hold somebody up as a hero. But now the more wicked they are, the more they're upheld in the light of the world today. And the worse they can be, is the better they are in the eyes of the world today. I'm thankful there are some heroes that the Lord Jesus Christ raises up in churches. Pastors that have already stood up. A pastor of this church that stood up, and he's a hero of mine, and others of you are heroes of mine. Young people, lay people that are heroes you can look up to. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on striving, fighting the fight, endeavoring, struggling, battling the battle to keep the unity of the Spirit. Hold on to the truth. Uphold the truth. Preach the truth. And live for the truth. Because we got a Satan that's the destroyer, and he wants to take away the truth. Amen. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be here today. God is...